Thursday, we do something that we do every year. We practice a tradition, you might say. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's not a scriptural thing to do. I don't know why anybody would say that. If there is any one holiday that we honor each year, this is the one that would be scriptural. And that is the honor of giving thanks to God for everything that has come our way. You know, our ancestors who first came here realized the importance of giving God glory for their blessings and for the things that have gone right in their life at a time when so many things had gone wrong. And, of course, I'm speaking, of course, of the pilgrims that came here in 1620. That was the worst winter of probably in America that we have on record. And a lot of the people that were there that year died. But in 1621, those that were left, along with the American Indians that they had befriended, did something that has turned into a wonderful holiday. And it's not just practiced here in America. It is practiced in many countries throughout the world. The idea of giving thanks to God for blessings that we have in life. And you know, it's something that goes back far beyond 1621, which is the year that we did it here first. The idea of being thankful to God goes back to the beginning of God's Word. We have several passages of Scripture, most of which is in the book of Psalms, that I want to share with you about this idea of thanksgiving. First of all, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8, we read, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done." And then the psalmist, I had many psalmist passages, but I want to share three with you. One in Psalm chapter 7 and verse 17, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Psalm 136 and verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Psalm 95 and verse 2, let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with song. You know, as children of God, I know that we are taught that we are to be a people of gratitude. We have so many records, scriptural records, of people who offer to God their thanks for a wonderful life, for wonderful blessings that has been given to us. And we can use those as examples for ourselves that we need to live a life of gratitude and maintain within our hearts a spirit of thanksgiving. It is something that is... it is commanded by God, but it is something that we should do even though the command is there, but because we want to. You know, when we think of our spouses, we tell them that we love them. Now, if this is something that is this a command? Is it demanded that we tell our spouses that we love them? I don't know if it's a command or not. I think that kind of love must be between husband and wife. But at the same time, we should tell them we love them because we want to tell them we love them. And this is what God is looking for from us. Yes, the directive is there. But to say, "God, I love you," "God, I thank you," should be something that comes from our heart and not because of something that we just know we have to do. On the other hand, ingratitude is condemned. We do know that we are to have or to be a people of gratitude. But there are people who are not. And these people will be condemned by God. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. I'd like to read to you here a group of people who did not offer God gratitude or even mention God in any way in their lives as being thankful for what they have and who they are. Beginning with verse 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Now jump down to verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful, and invent ways of doing evil. They gave no thought to the God that you and I serve. They gave no thought to the God who had given to them their very lives and had blessed them in so many ways with life in general. This, in verse 28, is the result of an unthankful life. And that's why it is so important for us today, and not just doing it on Thursday, but to have a thankful heart and a thankful life. You know, when I read Romans chapter 1, it's sort of scary. Because, you know, Paul, even though he wrote this almost 2,000 years ago, pretty much outlined our society exactly. Because this is exactly our lifestyle today. Those who are turning away from God, those who are losing that thought of being thankful for what God has given to them. You know, Paul is basically saying that those who don't give thanks to God are basically fools. That's what he's saying here. And he places those who are unthankful among the sinners. He pairs them up with idolaters, homosexuals, murderers, gossips, and ruthless, and he calls God haters. So we find that the unthankful heart, the unthankful person, even though we wouldn't categorize them as a major sinner, those who will not be thankful, Paul has put into this category of people. Now, why has this happened to mankind? What has happened to us that we have lost our ability to be able to say thank you? You know, we have been taught as children to say thank you when someone does something kind for us. And we have taught that to our children, that they learn to say thank you. But what happens with anyone when they lose their ability to be grateful? And why has this happened to so many today? Have a few ideas about that. First of all, we take our blessings for granted. We have been so blessed. We have had so many things go our way for so long, in so many ways. Sometimes I'm afraid that we forget just how really blessed we are. You know, you remember your children when they were young, and you taught them to say the blessing around the supper table. And you know, they would thank God for everything under the sun and for the sun itself. Thank you, God, for the sunshine, for the rain, for the air, for the sun, for the moon, for the stars, for the flowers, for the trees. Y'all remember your children doing this? I remember so well my two. Now, Philip, he was a pro at it. Philip would go on and on and on. Thank you, God, for the apples. Thank you, God, for the oranges. Thank you, God, for the grapes. Thank you, God, for the birds. Thank you, God, for the butterflies. Thank you for the lizards, which he loved to chase around the backyard. Even on one occasion, at his preschool graduation, he was asked to lead a prayer during the ceremony. And the preacher there at that church said, "Now, Philip, you be sure and include thanking God for all your classmates." Should have never told him that. And that's exactly what he did. Thank you, God, for Johnny. Thank you, God, for Susan. Thank you, God. And when he forgot the names of everybody, he would do this. Thank you, God, for Michelle. Thank you, God, for skinny, and he went down and he thanked God for everybody in that ring. That's cute, isn't it? Yeah. When's the last time you thanked God for sunshine? When's the last time you thanked God for rain? See, when we see rain, we usually go, "Oh, rain." And when we see rain on Sunday, we go, "Oh, rain. Stay at home today." The point is, sometimes we forget sunshine. Sometimes we forget the rain. Sometimes we forget the air we breathe, our food, our shelter, our country, our freedom, our church. Sometimes we even forget our own salvation. Have you ever noticed that the most unfortunate people are usually the ones who are the most grateful? Those who have the least are usually the most thankful for what they have. You see, we've been too blessed. We've had it made in the shade for too long. So long, in fact, that we don't even know how to be grateful for the things that have come our way. We have lost that spirit of thanksgiving. Another thing that has happened to us is that we have developed this little word called pride. Pride in who we are. Pride in what we have accomplished in life. Pride in what we're doing now or what we're going to do next. You know, I think about them. I think about the Pharisee and the sinner that went into the temple to pray. And how the Pharisee stood up and he boasted with himself. And he said, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. And I thank you that I am not like this sorry fella in the back row here trying to pray to you. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I have. And I am so glad that I am not like other men. Lord, you are so fortunate to have me." And you'd be surprised how many people actually feel that way. We are fortunate that God gives us the things that we have in life. And we need not be boastful about it. What's wrong with this story? Well, there's no humility. There's no understanding that what I have, I didn't do this by myself. What I have, it was given to me by God. You know, I think about the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. They were very boastful. They said, "We are rich. We don't have need of anything. We are self-sufficient." But if you read the next verse, you'll find Jesus telling them, "No, you're not. You are poor. You are wretched. You are naked. You are blind." And the reason for that is because there is no humility in your life. You have let your pride take control of you to where you can't say thank you in life. Another thing that keeps us from thanksgiving or having a thankful life is that of selfishness. I don't know of any better way to define selfishness than someone who criticizes. You find someone who is constantly looking for wrong. You find someone who is constantly fault-finding, criticizing, grumbling. You're finding you're looking at someone who is selfish. Biblical examples, we have some great biblical examples of selfish people. One was a whole nation. I'm talking about the Israelites. When the Israelites went into the wilderness, God had miraculously done many things for them up until this present time. He had led them safely out of Egypt. He had led them across the Red Sea. He had miraculously destroyed their enemies in the Red Sea. He guided them by day and night by the presence of a pillar of fire and of a cloud. He fed them with manna and quail. He gave them fresh water to drink. He revealed to them and gave them the law that would govern them on Mount Sinai. Their feet never swelled. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never became torn or tattered. They had everything they needed, and God had given it to them, but yet they complained and they grumbled and they found fault with everything and everybody. They grumbled against God. They grumbled against one another. They grumbled against their leadership. They grumbled against the circumstance that they were in all throughout that journey. And even at times, they wanted to go back to Egypt and become slaves again. Even though God had done all of this for them and freeing them from their captivity. But yet they grumbled. I just wonder today, do we grumble against God, and even though He's done wonderful things for us? Do we grumble against the church that He has made us a part of and given us many blessings and freedoms from being a part of the church? Do we grumble against things that go on with us every day in life, like maybe our jobs that we have that other people don't, but we grumble about it? And we grumble about what little bit of wealth that we have when we are indeed rich compared to other people on this planet? Do we find ourselves grumbling about things like that? Selfish. People who do this are selfish. And selfishness will destroy our ability to become thankful. Well, now that we know what can cause all this, what can we do about it? What are some of the things that we can do to end all of this negativity in our thankful lives? Well, first of all, we must be loyal to Christ. As Christians, genuine thanksgiving begins with an understanding that we belong to God. Twice, in fact. Once in creation and once by salvation. He brought us into this world. He sustains us daily. He sent His Son to die for us. He established the church for us that we can be a part of. And He literally gave us eternal life. Now, who could complain about that? You'd be surprised how many do. Paul tells us in Acts 17 and verse 28 that it is in Him that we live, it is in Him that we move, it is in Him that we have our very being. Everything that we are, everything that we have been, everything that we will be is because of God and not of ourselves. We belong to God. Peter reminds us in Acts 4, verse 12, that our salvation is in His name and not in any other. We sit here tonight, a saved people, not because of something we did, but because of something that God did for us in sending His Son to die for us. But yet Paul, I think he nails it to the wall in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body, because He has given you these things." We belong to God. Our body, our soul, our mind. Praise God, because He owns us. And He will take care of us. We also need to understand that thanksgiving is celebrating Christ and sharing Him with others. If I were to ask you, what is your greatest blessing? I might get a variety of answers. But Davis is ready to go. What is your greatest blessing? You know what our greatest blessing is? Salvation. Salvation is your greatest blessing. Some people may say, "Well, you know, I have children. They're my greatest blessing. I have wonderful neighbors. I have wonderful friends. I have co-workers. They're all my greatest blessing." No. Your greatest blessing is God. Your greatest blessing is that He has given you something that you cannot give to yourself. We sit here this morning or tonight and we are so blessed. We have been forgiven. We sit here saved and safe in the arms of Jesus. And yet we complain about our God and about our church and about each other. And we don't share our God with other people. We need to demonstrate our gratitude to God by telling other people about what He has done for us. We talk about our children, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. Those are the ones that we need to be sharing God with. We need to help them to understand that God has done much for them, just like He has done much for us. Thanksgiving is celebrated by giving and sharing. Now, let me give you an example here, and this is the one that everybody loves for the preacher to talk about, and that's church giving. I don't talk about church giving very much, but I'm going to talk about it tonight. What motivates us to give to God? What motivates us to see to it that His work continues? Is it because that we are commanded to do it? And we are. We're commanded to give to the God, to the Lord on the first day of the week. Is it because that we love the lost and we want them to be saved? Well, that would be one good reason to give, wouldn't it? Is it because we love the church, we love God's family, and we want others to enjoy this blessing? Well, that's another reason that we give, isn't it? Is it because the church has a budget and expenses must be met? Well, it does, and they must be met. Maybe it's because someone else gives a lot and we don't want to be left out. We don't want to be outdone. Maybe it's because we want recognition for what we do. There are many reasons to give to God. But do you know the greatest reason to give to God? An expression of gratitude. And every time that we give to God at this church, what needs to be going through our mind is what God has given to me. How He has sustained my life. How He has improved my life. How my life is wonderful because I belong to Him. I can't help but think of a little old lady that I grew up with in my home church in Alabama. Mary Lynn Mitchell was her name. Now, she was one of these people who didn't mind telling you what she thought, when she thought it, and she was very, very outspoken in everything that she did. And she was one to keep an eye on, no doubt. And my cousin and I, we used to sit together and we would kind of scan the auditorium during service to see people who did silly things. Y'all do know y'all do silly things in church. Y'all know that. I see every bit of it up there. And we would watch Miss Mitchell all the time because she was forevermore. When the preacher would say something that she didn't like, well, you could see it in her face. And when come time to pass around the communion, she would always do this. And this is during communion now. And we'd watch her, and then every now and then we'd see her go. She wanted to know if somebody was watching her. But whenever time come to pass around the collection plate, her whole facial expression would change. You know, she was so somber and so sweet sitting there during the communion like she was really trying to concentrate on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is what you're supposed to do, by the way. But time come to reach into that purse and grab that dollar. Buddy, her facial expression changed. Her eyes got beady and her lips got tight. And you just knew she didn't want to turn loose of that money. And when she finally did and was all over and done with, she got rid of that expression. But we watched her every week. She would do that every week without fail. And I just wonder, if you can be like this and be thankful at the same time. I don't think there was any way that woman could do that. My friends, we need to learn how to be thankful, even when we give. Because as we have said and heard so many times, you can't outgive God. I never have been able to do it. So we need to be thankful when we give to God through the church. The love of God compels us to be generous. The love of God compels us to be thankful. The love of God compels us to share our blessings with other people. And that's what we must do. Thanksgiving is not something that we celebrate one day out of the year. Now we celebrate it two or three days. When I was in school, we got Thursday and Friday off. Now the kids are out of school all week long. A lot of people who work are out of work all week long. And it's wonderful, isn't it, to have time off to spend with your family and your friends and to enjoy each other. Blessing of God, friends. The blessing of God. We should remember, though, that thanksgiving is an attitude. Thanksgiving is a spirit. A spirit that drives us to be thankful. And we should have that attitude and we should have that spirit every day of our lives. You know, our Thanksgiving Day originated in 1621. But Thanksgiving originated with the first people, Adam and Eve. And we need to be thankful people in our lives to the God who has given us life, who has sustained our lives, and to the God that is going to give us eternal life. So today, if you're not a Christian, I want to tell you this. If you're not a Christian, you need to be thankful. What? You need to be thankful. You need to be thankful that God has made it possible for you to be His child. You need to be thankful that He has made a way for you to obey Him, to live for Him, and then someday live with Him. And Christian friend, if you have wandered away from God, you too need to be thankful. You need to be thankful that God has made it possible for you to be forgiven of your sins and to be welcomed back into the fold of safety. You see, that's what God does. This is how much God loves us. The same God that we murmur about, the same God that we complain about, has offered us this kind of love to save us and to save us again. And again, if need be. Because He wants us to be a part of Him and be His child. Tonight, if you find that you have a need to bring yourself to God or to bring yourself back to God, don't wait another day. But use this opportunity to obey the Lord and leave here tonight thankful for what He has done for you. If you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing.